Hello Mzansi, welcome to episode 377 of the Farmers Inside Track podcast. My name is Duncan Masiwa and I'm your host for this episode, powered by Nedbank. South Africa's wine industry is being hampered by logistical issues at ports, policy uncertainty, a lack of action against the illicit alcohol trade, rolling blackouts and disruptions due to geopolitical issues. What needs to be done to get this vital industry back on track? In this episode, Daniel Rousseau, the head of sales for agriculture at Nedbank Commercial Banking, provides an in-depth look into South Africa's wine industry. Daniel, welcome and nice to have you with us again.
Thanks, Duncan. Yeah, pleasure to be able to speak to you again.
Now, we're talking the wine industry. Nedbank recently hosted the Vinpro Producer Day, where the current state of the wine industry was discussed. Earlier this month, the findings of a macroeconomic study of the domestic wine industry undertaken by the FTI Consulting were presented, revealing an industry facing considerable headwinds. What, in your opinion, are the biggest challenges facing wine producers in South Africa currently?
We need to acknowledge the fact that we've seen a declining trend in the wine grape producers' profitability for quite a while now. I think with the last 5 years, perhaps the most challenging. There are a number of reasons for this decline in profitability, but we must also remember, and I think it's important, that the wine grape industry is also in competition with other crops in terms of land and water usage that might be more profitable over the long term. You know, here I think about high-value citrus cultivars, stone fruit, and even berries, to name a few. Now, a number of our producers also have diversified their farming operations, and we do see some cross-subsidization in terms of cost and profit, perhaps masking the real pressure on the wine industry side. But if we look at Vinpro's suggested sustainable net farm income, which in fact represents profitability, it is clear that it has consistently exceeded the reality, as loss-making among farmers rose to about 28% in 2018 to more than 40% in 2023. So that's quite a big increase. So at the same time, the percentage of profitable farmers in terms of long-term sustainability, now thus or then also be able to replant on a sustainable basis, declined from about 20% to 12% over the same period. So as with other tree crops, especially export tree crops, we've seen a significant increase in production cost, especially in 2022, where we have seen big increases, more than 15% in costs, with biggest contributors being labor, the largest contributor to inputs, fertilizers, chemicals, mechanization, as well as electricity cost. So as a result of lower profitability and competition, as I've said, for land and water, we have seen areas under vines shrinking dramatically. You can look back over the last 10 to 15 years, and vineyards then also aging, with almost 60% of vines now older than the optimal fruit-bearing age. South Africa has lost more than 10% of its total area under vines since 2013, and uprooting has become a prevalent trend throughout basically all our wine-producing regions. If you look at the last 2 years, we've seen a lot of pressure on our export volumes. If you look at the latest industry feedback, it indicates that volumes actually to be down about 15% in the last 12 months, with both bulk and packaged wine exports under pressure. So it is not just the one. You look at bulk as well as packaged wines. Due to favorable exchange rate, yes, the industry were able to remain on the same levels from a value perspective, so total income. But we see that local wine sales remain flat. And quite interestingly, we see a shift now towards lower price brackets, talking about less than 60 rand per litre, and typically your bag in a box and tetra packs. That constitutes approximately 83% of total domestic sales now, and with a top-end consumption in higher price brackets that have basically shown also some positive movement. So it is this middle market that's really struggling at this stage. Unfortunately, the pressure on profitability will be exacerbated by the increase in excise duties that we've seen now of more than 6.5% on wine, sparkling wine and brandy that was announced in the budget speech last week. And if you then also take into account the external factors such as the inefficiencies at ports, the persistent episodes of load shedding that we still see and deteriorating rail and road infrastructure, all of that add to the profitability issues that we currently, for the last number of years, experienced in the wine industry?
Now, of course, the wine industry is an important player in South Africa's economy, very strategic industry, not just for the Western Cape, but for South Africa. Put into perspective what the value of the wine sector is and what it brings to South Africa.
And I've talked around the profitability side, but irrespective of that, the wine industry is still a major contributor to our BBP, and especially as an employer too, especially in the Western Cape. Yes, Northern Cape as well, but predominantly in the Western Cape. In 2022, as an example, the wine industry alone contributed around about 11.1 billion to our national GDP. And this expands to an economy-wide impact. So if you look at the total value chain of around 56 billion, that's 0.9% of our national GDP. So once your indirect and induced effects are counted, including the impact of consumption of workers spending their salaries as well. So it's basically the whole value chain within the wine industry. The industry is also a significant contributor to government revenue through excise taxes that we've talked to about as well. If you look at 2022 as an example, these taxes and VAT payments totaled around 9 billion, and that's 0.6% of our tax revenue. So it is substantial. But I did mention, you know, the importance as an employer as well. So if you look at employment as a multiplier, by supporting around about 7.5 jobs per 1 million rand wine output, that's substantial as well. In the Western Cape, where the industry is concentrated, it employed about 245,000 people in 2022. And on a national level, it generates around 3.3 jobs for every 1 million rand capital investment. And interestingly enough, that is more than double the national average of 1.18 jobs. So if you look at the importance as an employer, looking at the wine tourism side, very, very important as well. And it actually boosts local tourism. So the wine industry, you know, boosting the local tourism with some of the region's local, especially in your rural environment, but the local economy is heavily reliant on it. In 2022, again, wine tourism contributed around 3 billion to South Africa's GDP. And that's up from the pre-COVID input of around 2.4 in 2019. So again, you see that nice increase that we've seen on tourism side. Interestingly enough, also then another statistic, the wine tourism industry directly employed approximately 6,300 permanent workers and about 7,600 casual workers during 2022. So from an employer point of view, as well as from an economic point of view, a very important player in the Western Cape as well as South Africa.
You've definitely painted for us the significance of South Africa's wine industry, but also the challenges that producers are currently facing. Clearly, there needs to be a turnaround, Daniel. What needs to happen to turn the ship around?
It is quite a difficult question to answer, Duncan, but I'll try my best. We need to look at the external factors impacting the wine industry, but also internal factors. When we talk about how we're going to turn the ship, and we know it is not an easy process and a quick process. As I've previously stated, the industry is to a large extent reliant on exports and value add, very, very important. But if you look at the disastrous state of our ports and transport infrastructure systems, that requires urgent attention so that wine exports can return to pre-pandemic levels. Yes, we are able to export, but it takes time, takes a lot of effort, sometimes a long waiting period in our ports, and it's just asking questions, I think, on the international markets to our ability to supply on a sustainable basis. The industry is doing a lot of work, and that's perhaps a positive. The industry is doing a lot of work around renewable energy. We've seen that for the last 10 years. The wine industry is actually a leader in terms of renewable energy within the agri sector, but it is still an issue to take into account as well. Now, I know government is having a lot of talks around renewable energy, but I think a lot more urgent action is required. Staying with exports, I think excise duties need to be brought in line with our peers. It can be said that the wine industry is actually a milking cow in terms of excise, but currently the excise burden in South Africa far exceeds that of emerging markets, developed markets, and wine producing countries. So we are now struggling even more to be competitive on global markets. So it is something that we need to pay attention to and argue a lot more. Can also, I think we argued that the SA wine industry is still very fragmented. Without a really strong SA brand, I'm not talking about specific brand, I'm talking about South Africa as a brand in the international market. We need to critically look at the sweet spot in terms of exports and local sales. I believe that South African wines needs to be premiumized in export markets. It is possible with South African wine, you know, having experienced the highest growth. I mean, it's actually a good story to tell. If you look at the growth in the premium, that's a £10 plus per bottle category in the UK. That's still our biggest export market. That happened in 2022, growing by 54% when compared with Australian wines, which grew just 24% in that category. So if we can do our branding to the best that we can, really play in the right market, especially in the UK, it is something that we need to, again, critically look at. But we also need to look at how to increase local consumption. I think it's about 50-50 at this stage in terms of export and local consumption. But if you look at wine, currently only accounts for about 14% of total legal alcohol sales consumed in South Africa, compared to beer at 56% and spirits at 20%. So wine is, I'm not saying struggling, but there's huge competition in the local market for alcohol. And it is a fine balance between volume and value. But then we have to ask the question, if the industry can move from basically more from the affordable segments, that's less than 50 rand per bottle, to more your value wine segments, typically 50 to 90 rand per bottle. You know, currently that makes up 19% of local wine sales. And if you can move up into that segment, looking at affordable wine drinkers in this category, resulting growth in profitability for producers. And I still believe there is room to grow the wine tourism part of the industry to further diversify and increase profits. And I believe that the industry has done a lot of work. That's perhaps the most crucial part, you know, of profitability and turning the ship. The industry has done a lot of work around improving farm level efficiencies in the last number of years. I think with very limited actions they can take now on the input side, they've done what they could have done in terms of efficiencies. So I firmly believe that we need to look a lot more and do a lot more work on the income or output side to turn the ship. We should move away from a predominantly production focus to a more market focus. That basically summarizes what I've said in terms of premiumization as well as on the export market, but also on the local market. We have the premium wine that we can sell. I just think that we need to back it up and be confident about the quality of wine that we produce.
Thanks, Daniel Rousseau, the head of sales for agriculture at Nedbank Commercial Banking. You can, of course, read more on this topic by visiting www.foodformzanzi.co.za. And that's a wrap. As always, remember to subscribe to our podcast on your favorite platform, so you never miss an episode. From me, Duncan Masiwa, our technical producer, Megan van der Vind, and the rest of hashtag Team Food from Zanzi, thanks for listening.
Life in South Africa can be a lot. I mean, scroll through Twitter for a minute and tell me I'm wrong. Thank God for South Africans, though, right? We're inspiring, and even on the bad days, we fight back with a smile. That's why I love Food from Zanzi so much. They're not ashamed to celebrate the ordinary unsung heroes who work every day to put food on our nation's tables. Go to foodformzanzi.co.za and never miss an inspiring story.